I saw a lot of gripes. I signed up for one of these websites where it lets me know what's going on, not only in my neighborhood, but the surrounding neighborhoods. And a lot of complaints, it seemed like, that the fireworks, not just for the 4th of July, but they were continuing through the weekend, Sunday night, you know, 10:30. It's like, go ahead and just shoot them all off it. Why don't you? I don't know if you were getting that in your neighborhood or not.
Oh, are you kidding? In my neighborhood, they started on Wednesday night. I let my poor cat out on my enclosed porch, and the next thing I know, I hear a pop, 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 and cat's at the door clawing desperately to get back inside. So it's like, you know, fireworks, one, I don't understand why you spend your own money on them, because, you know, wouldn't it be just easier to light your money on fire? I mean, it would save time. But secondly, it's just, you know, leave it to the holiday. If you're going to go out and do this, blow them up on the holiday itself. And guess what? Fireworks should be kind of limited. You know, I've heard people firing them off at Halloween. You know, I'm surprised that I haven't heard them yet at Thanksgiving or Christmas. But, you know, it's like, come on, people. You know, pets don't like it. Dogs hate it.
My dog absolutely hates it. That and thunderstorms. You know, I can just count on the fact either that or the dog has us trained to the point where it's just another excuse to sleep with us. I'm not sure. Maybe we're the ones that are being played as a fool there.
Well, and also, you know, if our veterans, you know, who are dealing with PTSD or have been in war zones, it aggravates them as well. So it's like, you know, when they know that there's going to be a fireworks show, they can plan around it and, you know, get away from it and help protect themselves. But when neighbors just start firing them off because they've got them, not so thoughtful.
Hey, by the way, I didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday. I know we brag about, you know, if it's an event, I don't, you know, think everybody else is playing for second if the city of Nashville is putting on an event. I mean, the same thing applies. I go back and I thought 4 years ago or 5 years ago, the fireworks for 4th of July spectacular here in the city. You know, when you talk about such a prolonged finale, I mean, they just keep outdoing themselves. So, you know, the whole city, all the from a law enforcement standpoint, first responders, Butch Spiridon and everybody involved with the Visitors Conventions Bureau. I mean, everybody. I mean, what an incredible display on Thursday night.
343,000 people is what they estimate were downtown for the fourth, and that's just, you know, for anyone who wondered and doubted the numbers for the NFL draft back in April. Well, hello, it almost pales in comparison because, I mean, think about it: 343,000 for one night. One night, fireworks. Yes, there were music and all that stuff, but we're talking one night. So yes, Nashville knows how to put on an event and do it in style.
I remember when I worked in athletics and about mid-July, panic started coming in and setting in because I knew before long everybody was reporting back. Football camp would be opening up, and before we know it, the first game of the season. The same thing applies when SEC Media Days, which will be next week starting on Monday, and as always, our show will be on location broadcasting from Hoover. I'm looking forward to it. 12th straight year for me. Jay is a rookie. He's breaking in next week. But I bring it up because you got that, and then you'll have the OVC Media Days the following Monday. And then starting on Friday, July 26th, the first practice of the Tennessee Titans in training camp.
Yep, it's essentially here. I mean, you know, I still have the rest of this week off, so I'm trying not to look as far in advance as you are. But, the Titans sent out their training camp schedule. There's going to be 9 open practices. The Patriots, their joint practices with the New England Patriots will be August 14th and the 15th. And, yeah, it's essentially here. So, you know, for the people who've been kind of itching since the last football game, you know, or the AAA, whatever that thing was for AFL for, you know, a few minutes, you know, if you've been jonesing for some pigskin football, it's almost here.
By the way, a couple of notes. As far as the first practice open to the fans, that will be the second day on Saturday, July 27th, a morning session from 9:50 to noon. So that will be the first of several practices that are open to the fans. A couple really stand out to me leading up to the preseason game as the Titans play host to New England coming up on Saturday, August 17th. But the joint practice this year will be with the Patriots on the 14th and 15th of August. Both of those sessions open to the fans as well. Go ahead and mark your calendars Wednesday, August 14th, Thursday, August 15th from 9:50 to noon. That'll be the 2 days of practices with the Patriots.
Yep, and I like the schedule personally because, that way I can get written and be done. And, the morning, as hot as it is in August and July, that's kind of the before the temperature's really been cranked up to sizzle. So I like the schedule. And, I've seen a little bit of, fuss about how there's only 9 sessions open. And it's like I'm a little jaded, Johnny, but I've seen a lot of faces at some of these practices over the years. So, 9, it's if you're going to come and see the Titans in person, what your window is. So there's plenty of weekend sessions. You should be able to find one that could work for your schedule ideally.
Well, and here's the thing too, and credit to the Tennessee Titans for doing this, but they've made it. I mean, look, in August and in latter part of July and throughout the month of August, what is it here in Nashville? It's hot, and everybody understands that. But they've certainly made improvements out there at St. Thomas Sports Park to make it more inviting for the fans to actually, deal with the weather. And the thing is, you go back to, the year one of when the Titans would open up these practices for the fans, it wasn't always the case. But then you'd have the huge crowds, coming out and watching these practices. I don't know about you. Did you feel like the practice, as far as the attendance from the fans, were down last year?
Well, it was tough to tell. I mean, the seating that Amy Adams Strunk, has set up, I mean, it feels like training camp now with the stands that they erect and, and they had shade for them. I mean, sometimes part of the day you can't help but get a little bit of sun. But, here's the thing. Unless you've got a ticker going on each one, what does it really matter if you've got 2,000? Yes, the Cowboys, they love to tout their numbers when they go out to Oxnard, California for a week or two. But, I've always had the feeling here in Johnny that in Tennessee that football fans understand when we're talking practice. And training camp is practice. And, it's nice that there's some sessions open and, gives kids kids groups who come out a great chance to see them and such. But at the end, it's not what you see on game day. It's
no
practice, and it can be a bit tedious, especially in the heat. So I'll admit, I'm out there because I'm paid. The fact that anybody comes out for a free session of football when it's practice, I applaud you and say you're a better fan than I.
I mean, here's the thing. Other than the 2 practice sessions going up against the Patriots, I mean, what are you going to say if your defense gives up a play which makes your offense look good? Is it because the offense looked good, or is it because the defense is just awful? So either way, you're going to be cutting down your team. I always go back, like tonight, we got the All-Star game in baseball. I've never heard, this was one of the huge mistakes, and if you're around a lot of pitchers and you talk to pitchers about this, you get a better feel about what I'm getting ready to bring up. But you always hear, slugger A hit a bad pitch. Well, sometimes they hit great pitches. It's not always a bad pitch that they park over the fence, if you know what I mean. But with regards to practice and football, you're right. It's practice. And it's great for the players. It's great for those that are trying to earn a roster spot. But it's practice. It is nothing close to, resembling what you're going to see as far as the regular season in the game, because it's practice. It's mundane. It's over, repetitive, making sure you get certain things right and making sure everybody's on the same page.
Well, absolutely. And we're not going to have a clue exactly how good or bad the Tennessee Titans this year in 2019 are going to be until starting September 8th at Cleveland. Why? Even, preseason games, you're hiding stuff, you're vanilla, lots of wonderful cliches where, you're just trying to, see what you've got in some of these young guys, see if somebody can work their way up a depth chart and, keep as much as you can undercover to keep people from scouting you ahead. So, that's the thing. Those of us who want to see what Arthur Smith's going to be doing, how is he going to be calling a game? Again, we're not going to get you might get a little bit more than we've had, simply because he's never called plays before. But again, that veil starts coming off and when everything matters September 8th. So Until then, enjoy. Come by, get some autographs, get some pictures, enjoy. But, you know, we're talking practice.
Teresa Walker joining us. I hope, Teresa, by the way, and not just with the Titans, because we see this with a lot of the teams, that there's changeover as far as offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, especially on successful teams. If you're successful, that means you're doing something right, and other teams will want your guy and to promote them to head coaching positions, whatever the case may be. I don't want to hear excuses this year if the offense is sluggish. Well, it's a new coordinator. I don't want to hear, you know, the bottom line, it's the NFL, and you're not supposed to have excuses. So I hope this upcoming season we can finally put to rest that excuse if this offense gets out of the gate slow.
Well, exactly. I mean, one of the reasons why they kept or promoted Arthur Smith is continuity. He's been here. You know, he's been around Marcus Mariota. He's, you know, Delanie Walker sings his praises. And so far, I've yet to hear a single person on the offensive side of the ball say anything negative. In fact, they seem very excited by what and how Arthur Smith is planning to go about things, at least from what they're seeing and being exposed to. So, you know, will there be growing pains, though? Yeah, I mean, on Arthur Smith's part, you know, guess what, Johnny? And we will pick apart and critique and criticize. If, you know, if they're getting some delay of game penalties, if the play's slow to get in, you know, so yeah, there's going to be some parts that are absolutely open to criticism simply because it is a first time offensive coordinator. He's never done this at any level. So this is, there's going to be some growing pains on his part, but on the side, on the field, you know, this is Marcus Mariota's fifth season, Derrick Henry's fourth season, contract years, by the way, you know, same for Tajae Sharp. And then, you know, they brought in pieces to ideally make this a better offense. So, you know, at that point, it means going out and executing what they're trying to do. So, but we're always going to find something to pick apart. You know that.
Hey, by the way, you know, I go back to, you know, the back-to-back to, was it three straight years of 8-8 going into 99? And, but, you know, nobody had huge expectations for the newly named Tennessee Titans in 99. And I always like to use the example, if you go back and you pick up any PlayStation and throw in the old EA Sports NFL for that particular year, if you pop in the very first year the Tennessee Titans are playing at then Adelphia Coliseum, and I don't even think it was named yet on the video game, but half of the stadium is empty because based on the attendance the previous year and the struggles filling Vanderbilt Stadium for the Tennessee Oilers. But I bring it up because nobody really fully expected the Tennessee Titans to play in their new stadium for the first time and march to the Super Bowl that year. I bring it up because we've already anointed the Cleveland Browns before they even played a game with all the new pieces and all the new toys and all the new weapons at the disposal for Baker Mayfield. I you got to show me. You know, to me, the proof is in the pudding. And I can't recall a team with all of these built-up expectations before they've even played their very first game. Everybody's already, I mean, and look at the fact that they're on national television multiple times this year. Everybody's already buying in that maybe this is the year that finally Cleveland plays in their first Super Bowl. You got to show me, and I'll be interested to see how this all plays out that very first week of the NFL season in September.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing. Think back to last year. If Nick Williams catches that ball, then they win a game in Buffalo. Now, we don't know if they drop another one down the stretch. But what that 99 team did really well early was pull out tight games. You know, the game where they had to come back with Steve McNair driving them down the field to edge out the Cincinnati Bengals and Jeff Blake there at the end of that home opener that year. You know, you build, you know, Samari Roll getting an interception in the downpour of Jacksonville. You know, though, you make a play here or there to pull out a game that, you know, was on the line. Those are the kind of things that allows a team to build momentum. So, you know, but guess what? You're absolutely right. Everybody wants to be able to say, I called this team. I knew they were going to be hot this year. I told you. I told you way back when. Well, that's what everybody's doing with the Cleveland Browns. They've seen the money that's been spent, the draft picks that have been invested, Baker Mayfield and all that swagger. You know, how different that offense looked when Hugh Jackson was calling plays after, you know, they made the change. No, when they got rid of Hugh Jackson and went with the new guy. So, You know, when you do those kind of things, everybody's got a feel. Now, you mentioned three straight years of 8-8. Well, it feels like, in a way, even though the Titans had never done it before since they, you know, since moving to Tennessee, three straight winning seasons. But because, you know, let's face it, you know, they fired Mike Mularkey after the second one of those. And, you know, last year, at the end of last season, yeah, they were 9-7, but, you know, missed out on the playoffs. Marcus didn't play. Why didn't he play? Oh, that's why he didn't play. Oh, boy. You know, there's just so many questions that it kind of got lost in the shuffle, Johnny. And, you know, the Titans have got as much reason as any other team in the NFL to say, you know what, we can be that team that makes a run, gets to a playoff, gets to the Super Bowl. Why? Because it's the NFL. Every year a team goes up, a team goes down that you don't expect. And, you know, the Titans have been quietly building. You know, I know that 5-27, those two ugly seasons seem like a bit ago. It's now been in the rearview mirror, but they have been building for this. And I don't know about you, but I look at the roster and I see so many players, starters and other guys who are going into the final year of their deals. We've all focused on Marcus Mariota, Derrick Henry. They didn't pick up Jack Conklin's option, but you know what that means? There's a lot of guys who are highly motivated this year, Johnny, to show what they can do and, you know, stick around this league.
Absolutely. I mean, look, there's always that turnover anywhere from, 10 to 15, some cases 20 players off of a team year in and year out. But you're right. There's a long list of individuals that are trying to earn that second contract. And I'll be intrigued to see exactly when at the end of the year and we get into the offseason next year to see how that all plays out for a lot of these guys. But from a fan standpoint, that usually means as well that we're going to see some outstanding performances from some individuals, because even if that doesn't mean they're going to be with the Titans, they're certainly looking to showcase their abilities to be attractive to other teams that are out there.
Absolutely. And the salary cap means that, you know, if every guy on this roster who, you know, wants another contract next year has the great season that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel absolutely hope they do, well, they're not going to be able to re-sign all those guys. That's why there's the draft, you know, to get some cheaper labor coming in the door. Well, you know, so they're going to be getting paid by somebody, if not the Titans. So it's all about what have you done for me lately. And contract year, you know, we've all heard that term, and we've seen players turn in some of their best performances in those contract years.
You know, I'm glad you brought the name Nick Williams, because I actually brought that up on the show yesterday. That's one of the things that, you know, besides certain positions that I'm looking to see how it plays out. For example, number one on my list is the right side of the offensive line, for example. But the other part of what I'm looking forward to once training camp opens up for the Titans is who's going to be this year's version of Nick Williams. Except I hope that this year's version, whether it's offensively or defensively, they don't blow a game. But other than that, because that was such a feel-good story last year with Nick Williams earning a roster spot and being in the position, unfortunately, you know, I guess it's fortunate that you're in that position to win a game on the road against Buffalo. It's also unfortunate if you don't actually hold on to a football.
Ding, ding, ding. And that's the thing. You know, the Titans, why was it a feel-good story? Because he's been around a little bit, because he was trying to, that scrappy receiver trying to stick on the roster. Well, you know, the Titans kind of fixed that situation. They went out and signed a free agent, gave him big money, lured him away from the Patriots and Adam Humphries. They spent a second-round draft pick on A.J. Brown from Ole Miss, a guy that, you know, in many mock drafts, had in the first round. So, you know, they went out and invested in some talent, guys who on paper should come in and immediately upgrade this receiving core. And then you add in Corey Davis, Taywan Taylor, you know, Tajay Sharp, contract year once again. You know, so it's like you shouldn't have to have, in that position group at least, you shouldn't have that scrappy guy trying to make the roster story, at least not this year in that position group.
All right, so now we have the rest of the story as far as the Nashville Predators are concerned, because, you know, a couple of weeks ago with the trade and certainly freeing up some money with the trade of P.K. Subban, that even the video game wouldn't allow you to duplicate if you tried to put that on your NHL 19. But now we've got the rest of the story, and it just speaks volumes about the team trying to find more weapons to score, obviously, more goals and take pressure off that top line.
Absolutely. And, you know, they introduced Matt Duchene locally. They had him on a conference call a week ago, but, you know, you can't get pictures off a conference call. So they introduced him today over at Ford Ice Center. And, you know, let's face it, there are very high expectations for Matt Duchene walking in because two things. The guy he's replacing essentially in PK Subban, you know, the biggest star on this roster, let's face it, around the NHL, you know, former Norris Trophy winner, et cetera, commercial, TV, you name it, that was PK Subban. Well, the expectations are high for Duchene because of that and for the fact that, you know, he was showing that he could really put some points together for the Columbus Blue Jackets, particularly in the postseason when they, you know, finally got their first postseason series win. So, you know, David Poile made it very clear. He was trying to upgrade his forwards, get some scoring, and diversify that. And he made that move. And so all eyes are going to be on Matt Duchene. And it's funny, somebody tweeted out the list of players and their most points in their first season with Nashville. Paul Kariya is still atop that list. And it's been such a long time since his debut season in Nashville. What, 05, 06? So it's like, it's been a long time. You know, when he came through before his Hall of Fame induction or whatever it was, year and a half ago, he talked about how he was a little surprised that his scoring record still stands for the Predators. So it's time for somebody to take it down. And David Poile would be incredibly happy if it ends up being Matt Duchene.
Hey, help me here. You know, you've been covering press conferences, introductions of, you know, new coaches, players, whatever the case may be, different teams, different leagues, et cetera. I'm trying to remember the last time the mayor was at one of these.
Johnny, you know that there's a mayoral election coming up?
Yeah, that's my point.
That's not too surprising. I mean, you know, there's cameras, there's reporters, you know, there's a feel-good moment. Politicians usually cling to those. And, you know, everybody who's running for office loves the whiff of a winner. That's why there's such a tradition of inviting the champs to the White House. You know, you want to get that whiff of champion around you because, you know, unless you're being term limited, you're running for office again.
Yeah, the only thing I know is that, you know, sports to me was always the escape from the real world. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, you need politicians, particularly office holders, to help you when you're doing things like building Ford Ice Center. When you got Bellevue is under construction and things like that. So, you know, I hate to tell you, but there is, even with the new contract that the Predators have signed for the arena, you know, there's you still need to be heavily involved and have a great relationship with your town's mayor.
Only thing I will say is, how many times have you been the Sports Writer of the Year for the state of Tennessee? Where's your guitar?
I take the trophy they give me, and I've got two very pretty ones over here. I'm still looking. I'd like to get a third one. So if you're a member of the National Sports Media Association, you know, please consider to vote for me this fall when it's time to vote for Tennessee Sports Writer.